Okay, so my name is Julio Mazara. For the last 7 years, I have been leading an evangelistic ministry called Saetas, which means arrows or Pfeile in German. And I came to Barcelona in 2006 to do my master's degree. I'm a civil engineer. And during the, maybe the 6 months of my studies, my master's, I had this dream. And in that dream, I saw a woman dressed in white, and she had the right arm cut to the height of the elbow. It was a beautiful woman, shiny white, but she had no right arm. And in this dream, I saw how her right arm was, the bone was growing, the muscles were growing, the skin and the hand, and something was pushing me towards this woman. And when I was close to her, my left hand somehow touched her right shoulder, and I saw her hand coming new completely. I was shocked by this. You know, sometimes you eat chili con carne in the night and you have some dreams, some nightmares, and you know, oh, this is because of my stomach. You know, this is, I just go back to bed. And but that night is one of those, was one of those dreams, and you know, come on, God is on the move. God is involved here. There's something pure, there's something spiritual, there's something amazing in this that I am seeing now. And wait, hold on, I'm going back to Dominican Republic in 4 or 5 months. Why is God telling me, showing me these kind of dreams? So I was praying and praying and praying and praying. And after a few days of praying and fasting, I was on my knees in front of my bed, and I saw the same thing again, like a movie before my eyes, with my eyes closed. And after I saw the same thing, the woman's arm growing again, there was a voice saying, Julio, this is not a woman. This is my church in Europe that for such a long time has remained faithful to God, loving God, that has stayed away from sin. But in this time, I have decided to give this church, my church in Europe, the right arm of the Holy Spirit back. And in the Bible, you find many illustrations where God is saying, with the strong right hand, God saved his world, his people. He protected him. Even in the New Testament, when Jesus was casting demons out, he says, by the finger of God, he was casting demons out. There's something important for God in the right arm. There's something important for him. Where is the connection? And why did I decide not to go back to the Dominican Republic as I had my own plans of going back there and just continuing with our construction company and our business with my family? Because I see what God is doing in Europe today. I see many people who love God, a huge, amazing church full of love, full of good desires, full of great intentions. But I see also that the enemy throughout the years has been stealing something that belongs to the European church. The trust, the identity, the freedom to manifest the power of the gospel. A gospel without power is no gospel. A gospel without repentance and the communication of what Jesus did for us is no gospel. This has to come together. So we started just being a group of people going out on the streets, preaching the gospel, praying for the sick, and helping people when they are wounded spiritually or emotionally. And this is what we're still doing today. But back then, in 2007, when we started doing this, it was very different. My background, I come from Dominican Republic, and it is very normal, very... you get used very easily to do a lot of outreaches, preaching the gospel and seeing the dead come back to life, paralytics walk, and people getting healed from many different diseases. And suddenly, my mentor and I were praying, and I said, yes, it's about time that you go that you stay there in Europe and you just serve there and mobilize people for evangelism and to manifest the kingdom of God. And my mentor is still there. And he's like, I'm saying like, hey, you don't understand what's happening here. You don't understand. This is a different context. This is a different thing. And he said, Julio, this is the same God. It's the same God. I was like, of course, in the other side of the world, there's still the same God. They don't have a Chinese God. They have it's still the same God. So this word of my mentor just encouraged me a lot to not to complain, not to settle down, not to just follow what is being done. And throughout this year, we have been as a ministry, Saetas, you have some flyers there on your chairs. We have been learning and hearing from God, seeking God's face, his guidance, his leading on how to really manifest the gospel with power, yet not being weird people. This is a big challenge in our postmodern society. Christians, people with a lot of faith, people who are talking about spiritual Christianity, we are weird people. We are fools. Yeah, for the world, for the people, the ones who are getting lost, this is foolishness. But for God, what is the gospel? It's power of God for salvation. So how do we combine this powerful foolishness with the amazing desire of God to save these people? So we just went back to Jesus. How did Jesus do it? And before I go on, I would like to pray. Father, thank you for this amazing group and for allowing us to be together. Lord, I pray you take this time for yourself, Lord. I pray your Holy Spirit is leading us. I pray you are showing us what you want us to learn. I pray that we are not only learning in our minds, but that we are being transformed by your presence, Lord. May you increase your presence among us in this amazing place that we are right now. Lord, please increase your presence and manifest your love and your power, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. How did Jesus do it? His identity was very clear. There was no confusion in his identity. He came from the Father. And he showed us something that is very important. He has one trick, I could say. He said, hey, everything I hear from the Father say, this I say. The things I do, I don't do it on my own. It's because I see the Father doing them, and therefore I do those things. So he showed us a clear way. Follow God's will. You know, us Christians, churches, sometimes we have plans. Plans to build things. Plans to grow our thing into something bigger. Plans to get well known. It's very different when you see the Father doing something. And since you know He is doing this, He is interested in making this happen, then you say, okay, Father, you are blessing that thing. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it. Because your motivation is pure. Your motivation is sincere and correct. You just want to give Him the glory. And you know what? When the glory is not given to Jesus, things go wrong. When the glory is not given to Jesus, there is another type of fire on the altar. We as Christians, we need to have an altar, personal altar in our hearts. I'm not talking about a place. I'm not talking about stone. You need to have an altar, because the altar is where the human nature, where your desires, where your plans are laid, and there is a fire of God to consume it. With no altar, there's no presence of God in your life. Because in the altar is where all your plans, all your desires, all your ideas, your independence from God are burnt and consumed. You need a personal altar. You need to come into this relationship with God in such a way that you are intimate friend of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way, my friends. There's no other way, church. You need to have a personal altar. Many people in Europe, they just live out of the revelations of other brothers and sisters. They just repeat the preachings and the teachings from others. They just learn and apply to their own lives the things they have, they see that other people are learning and applying to their lives. You need an altar. This is number one. You need a constant, real, pure relationship with God. A connection with God. And that can only happen in your intimate place with the Holy Spirit. It can be as you're riding on the train. It can be as you're swimming. It can be as you're sleeping. I don't know. You need to have an altar. This is basic. When there's no altar, there's no sacrifice. When there's no sacrifice, there's no crucifixion. And there's two types of Christians. The crucified Christians and the non-crucified Christians. I'm going too fast, but I only have 1 hour. Some people say, oh yes, but I have a friend, he's a Christian, but he's a very fleshy Christian. I was like, I have never found this in the Bible. I only found in the Bible that we are suffered with Christ, we've been together with him, crucified in him, with him. And then because of that, together we will be risen with him. Your Christian life, your walk with Jesus Christ. If you have to be honest with yourself, are you living a crucified walk with Jesus? Not only controlled, not only being taught or being changed. No, I mean crucified, dead. Dead. Because when the flesh is not completely dead, and your crucifixion is not complete, and this is only an illustration. You don't have to be crucified. Jesus did it for you, okay? But crucifying my life means, hey, Jesus, you know, I am an engineer. I'm having a really great job, but I just want to serve you. I know you have been using me to heal people in my Baustelle. I don't know how you say it in English. You have been using me to preach the gospel to the manager, to the owner of the company, to many people who come and sell to us. And I'm seeing you touching many people. And I know you can use many people in the professional field. God needs missionaries there. But I have a feeling in my heart that in my specific case, you are telling me to stop working as an engineer. And you know what, Jesus? I don't like that a lot. I like my 6,000 euros a month. I like my Audi. I like my big house. And I know missionaries, and they are not very happy because they have no money. And I was in that situation saying, this could be very hard, Lord. I want to make sure it is you asking me for this. And he confirmed through people, through dreams, through visions. And there I am saying, Mama, I quit my job. What? What? You had the best job. I said, yes, I'm going to be a full-time missionary. Yeah. And my mom was crying. Maybe God is not asking you to leave your job. Maybe God is asking you to go get a job. Maybe God is asking you to let go of those things that make you feel safe and secure and that are stopping that he becomes your number one provider. That you take away those things that are playing the role of Jesus in your life because he's your savior and he's your healer. Maybe Jesus is asking something very different for you. But what really matters is that you learn to value being and walking in the will of God as the number one priority in your life. The best place for you to be is in God's will. Whatever it is, China, Latin America, Germany, whatever you're doing, mopping the floor or getting a lot of money, the place where you are most useful and powerful in God's hands is in his will. And you learn to die to yourself. And you can say like Paul, no longer I live, Jesus. You know, I mean, no longer I live. But now you live in me. I just gave it all to you. Because my main motivation is your heart, God. And here we start talking about love. Because sharing the gospel of Jesus with love means sharing the power of the gospel, getting to know the power of the gospel. According to the Bible, book of Genesis chapter 2, we have been created to the to his image. And according to 1 John chapter 4, it says that the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So the biggest, hugest, most important characteristic of God is love. God is love. All gifts, all these great things will pass, but his love is always going to be there. Love will remain forever. So you have been created to his image. Society is trying to change your understanding on this. Society is teaching you, you need people to tell you that they love you. You need people to tell you, oh, how good you look with this hairdo today. What a nice shirt. What a nice dress you have today. What a beautiful smile. Oh, you're so cool. Because society teaches you that you need to be accepted. And if you don't feel accepted, you feel ugly and you feel like you are not cool enough and you're sad and you're depressed. Yes, this is in the evangelistic workshop too. I have to go there, I'm sorry. We have a wrong understanding of what love really is. You know what? For many people in this planet, many people, they only feel loved when people with their words or with their actions are showing them affection. And people are, sometimes we are, crying out for affection, crying out for somebody to love me. I'm getting romantic now, I'm sorry. Crying out for somebody to make me feel I am somebody. Somebody to make me feel alive. And you know what? Society is doing exactly the opposite to God's word. Society is classifying people, is isolating people. This world is harsh. It's not so easy to live in this world. So we grow up under this mentality, under this paradigm. I need people to love me. And since I am not loved, since I don't have that love that I want and that I think I need, then I am sad. Then I am not a lively Christian. Then I'm not some Christian who's living his life with power. And all these lies from the enemy come in and they come in and they come in and they just fill your mind and your heart. And then you have your both hands tied up. Then I stand in front of you and say, hey, you have so much potential, man. I see what God wants to do with you in your life, with this intelligence, this wisdom, this discernment. Because this is what you have, more than wisdom. You have a lot of discernment, and God has taught you and given you a specific gift that you can stand before someone and you know if they are the real thing or they just quatch. You know this. But some things, sometimes all the things in our lives, they just keep it like this. Because we are confused with the basics. And what are the basics? That God is love. And that I have been created to his image. And I not only bring God's love. People, I am God's love for this world. You are God's love for this world. This is huge. This is huge. You are God's love for this world. You know what? I don't need anybody to come and tell me, Julio, I love you. Julio, you are cool, man. I like your preachings. I like how you live your life. I like your ministry. I don't need this. To be honest, I don't like it. I wanted to give the glory to God. But you know why I don't need it? Because I need a lot of love. But I know where that love has to come from. It's from heaven alone. You may think, oh, this guy sounds distant. No, no, he's a bit nice. No, no, don't be confused. What I'm saying is that every day before I leave my room or whatever bed I'm sleeping in this continent, I have an awesome time of intimacy with my Father. I have an awesome time. in which God is showing me His love. He's touching me. He's speaking to me. I'm praying and praying. I'm singing to Him. And I have times of just being there in His presence, experiencing the transformation and the power of His presence. You need that love. That's the only love you need. You do not need to go to people, not to sacrifice your values, not to sacrifice your identity, so other people like you, so other people love you. No, please. You have been created to His image. And before I go out, this might sound weird to you, but my father comes to me and says, Julio, Cuchi, you're such a beautiful guy. I love you so much. Come on, I want to spend time with you. And the Spirit's talking to me. I'm talking to Him. And Cuchi, and oh, hey. Hey, this is all I need. Come on. What other love do I need? And you can have this. You can have this. He paid the price. He paid the price. So that wall that was separating us from Him was taken down, destroyed completely. Now we have free access to the throne of grace. Now we have Jesus Christ, the only connection, the bridge between men and God. We have this. This is all love you need. And that changes a lot. Because you don't only have something in you. Your cup overflows. This is a canal. We are teaching at a canal today. I don't know if you know this. It's a canal. Once upon a time, there was water running through this canal. What happened to it? Because the Bible says that the ones who believe in Jesus, rivers of living water would burst out of Him. Out of them. That's a lot of water. Rivers of living water. I don't see a lot of living water, living nothing in this canal. This is beton. That's it. Concrete. I'll tell you how to change something different. Nothing's running through this canal now. Manifesting the power of the gospel sometimes looks like this, a canal. Dry, closed canal. You try it, try to come to your friends, you try to go to people, and nothing works. You try to talk to them, no thank you. Oh, I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. Has this happened to you? In our ministry, like we started now our Bible school. It's called Lifestyle. Because we don't want to teach people about a style, about a strategy, about techniques. We want to bring the young Christians that they can live with us for 9 months. And God spoke to us, you have to do this school for free. It's like, what? So we are doing school for free in the center of Barcelona. We just invite people to move in with us and receive teachings in the mornings. And every afternoon there is outreach. We have impact teams, and each team is going to a different social cultural group. One of the teams are going to the homeless people. The other is going to the skaters parks, and they are just skating with them. Others are doing other types of sports. Other team is doing party zone outreach. Other teams are doing face-to-face evangelism almost every day in the week. Other team is doing emergency room. They go to the hospital, to the emergency room, and when some people come and they're hurt, just say, wait, before you come in, let me pray for you. Different impact teams we have, and this is happening now 6 days a week. It's very different than 7 years ago when we started. It was only one outreach a week. And there's many things we have learned about this word evangelism. The first thing I have learned about this word is I don't like it, because it is not in the Bible. I am going to do evangelism. That sounds like holy war or something. I'm going to evangelize. No, I'm not going to evangelize. is evangelize. It's like put somebody under the gospel or under the evangelium. And this is not what I'm doing. I don't turn my evangelist mode on and go out on the streets, and after 1 hour I come back and it's over. This is a lie in the mind of many Christians for many years. Evangelism is that one nasty, ugly thing you have to do once a month so your pastor is happy with you. Yeah, some young people say, evangelism weekend. So the last Saturday of the month, we have to go together, and for 2 painful hours, we have to go on the streets and talk to people about Jesus. No, please. This is not what Jesus taught us. This is not what I find in the Bible. What I find in the Bible is something more, way, way cooler. It's something really nice, really amazing. It's loving people. It's loving people. And it's not something I plan. It's not something I design. It's something I am. I don't bring a message. I am the message. Very simple. I am the message. You go out on the street, and as you walk, you meet people and you love them. The thing is that sometimes you meet somebody, you meet people, and you need to know what they need. And this is why we have been given the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us. And we can have a discernment coming from God to know what they need. Or we just ask, hey, how can I pray for you? What? Yes, I'm Julio. What's your name? Da da da. How can I pray for you? What do you mean pray? I mean, you know, pray. Just talk to that guy up there and maybe he will help you. Some people don't know what is God. You say God and they could be thinking of 10 different animals. So we offer people for prayer. I understand that nowadays, a big mistake of us Christians in church is that we think that preaching the gospel or sharing Jesus is going, approaching people and answering to all their questions. Giving answers. Sorry, answers are okay. This is a good thing that you can give an answer. You read your Bible and you know your church history. That's great. Keep on doing it. But this is not saving nobody. This is not transforming no one. Okay? So, I understand that what really makes a change, what really makes an impact in people, is that they have an encounter with Jesus Christ. That changed my paradigm. I don't go out on the streets to give answers to people. I don't invite them to church so they can meet God. Because for many people, this is the paradigm. I want my friend to meet Jesus. Let's invite him to the house of the Lord. And I bring him to church on Sunday. And they don't understand anything. And they think this is a cult or a sect. And they run away. No, please. I live on the understanding that Jesus Christ ascended, but he said, it is good for you that I ascend, that I go to heaven, but I will not leave you alone. I will send my Holy Spirit that will abide in you. And you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The biggest spirit ever is in you. Filling you with so much love, with so much affection for people. You go out on the streets and wherever you move, wherever you go, the kingdom of God is coming with you. Why? Because Jesus said, repent and convert, for the kingdom of God has come. He sent the 12 disciples saying, wherever you go, proclaim the coming of the kingdom. Say, repent and convert, for the kingdom of God is here. Heal the sick, cast demons out. He sent the 70. Then the second generation of Philip and the others in the book of Acts, they're doing the same, preaching the gospel, explaining what the kingdom of God is, manifesting the kingdom, healing the sick, and casting demons out. What do you have to do? The same? The same. It's very easy. How do you do it? First, you need to understand it. Here. The presence of God is in you. And when you approach somebody, the presence of Jesus is being manifested through your eyes, through your smile, through a handshake, through your prayers. It's the presence of God that is transforming people. It's the presence of God what we as Christians need. It is the presence of God what people who have never met Jesus need. Because when the presence of God is released, is manifested, the eyes are open, the veil is taken away, is broken, and you can see clearly God's glory, God's presence is transforming us. We need to be exposed to this presence. Even if you are 20 years a Christian, I don't care. I am 10 years now a Christian, and I am as hungry as the first day. Really. I met Jesus in a very crazy way. I was 19 years old. Please don't hate me after this. I was 19, 20 years old, part of a gang, going to civil engineering school in the morning and in the night being part of a gang. I had a pistol, a gun in my pocket 24 hours, even when I was at the bathroom, when I was sleeping, I had my gun under my pillow. I was afraid of everything that just could kill me. One of my party friends, I was an alcoholic. I was a perfect boyfriend for your daughter. Everything bad, that was Julio. And the mother of my friend, she said, Jose, stop partying with Julio, please. He's a bad influence. And I was. Come on, I was. I had no moral values. I was a great guy. So she invites him to church. He says, well, let me invite Julio. He invites me, and I say, no, why would I go to church? Come on, man, I lost nothing there. There's nothing for me. And he says, are you afraid of coming to church? I'm like, no, I'm coming to church. So I went to church. He knew that was the only way he could get me to church. So I went with him, and being there, man, that was, I remember like now, I was sitting on that chair, and I started crying. They were singing, but the music was different to the music in my car. It was like, it was not pumping. It was something smoother, like today. It's like we did today here. It's different. And I was crying. And really, I mean, some of the musicians were smiling. Some of them were crying. Some of them were on their knees. And I was like, dude, do you think they're smoking something here? This is... It's Sunday morning. I mean, nobody can be drunk at this time. There's something else was happening there at that place. And it was a Methodist church. These things are not supposed to happen in a Methodist church. And then I closed my eyes and I was crying like a baby. And Jose was saying, like, come on, Julio, don't tell me you believe in this. You believe in God. I was like, dude, I don't know what's happening to me. My feet are burning hot, really, really hot. I touched the floor and the floor is ice cold, but my feet are burning, and I just close my eyes again, and then I open my eyes, and I'm not in my chair anymore. I am at the front, where the altar, where the stage is, and then I got lost. I said, like, what's happening here? Something weird is happening here. I'm trying to go away, and I feel like everybody around me looks white and beautiful, but with my eyes closed, I mean, they look pure, and I look at myself with my eyes closed. There were gray and black spots on my chest, like floating. I was like, something's not okay here. Something's wrong. Then this guy, this man speaking in the front, he took his microphone away and he approached me and he talked to me on my ears and he says, Julio, for such a long time, you thought I had been away from you. But I want to tell you, I have kept you in the palm of my hands. And in this time, I have decided to bring you back because with you, many sheep are coming back in the flock. Come on, that was getting too weird in that moment. That was just too much. I didn't understand why he wanted sheep. I had money, enough money to buy him sheep and fill the church with sheep. Why do you want to have a flock here with these people together? And you thought for a long time I was away. I never met you, dude. What's happening here? And then he touched my head and I was gone. I was out. I was just there on the floor. And when I woke up, it was like half an hour after that, and I was kind of not too good. I went to my chair, I took my bag with my gun. I had my gun in the church that day, and I had my money there, and I just left. I said, I'm not coming back here ever, ever. Wrong. I burned all my ungodly music. I stopped alcohol in one day. God changed my heart. I started crying every day when I was into this sinful life. He was changing many things. I gave up everything but my ex-girlfriend. I was like, Lord, we can negotiate this. Let's make it work. You know I can give you everything, but not this lady. Come on, we have been waiting for marriage. And, you know, during this time, I started doing some crazy things. I started waking up during the night at 3 in the morning to have 1 hour of prayer. And then at 4, 1 hour of Bible reading. And at 5, going to bed. And at 8, going to work. And then all this again every day. And after working, I was going to school in the night. It was crazy. And after 4 months, I felt so strongly like I need to share the gospel with somebody. I need to tell people what happened in my life. So I would just go on the street and start talking to people about Jesus. And they made some hard question, and I didn't really know the answer. And I started crying. I don't have the answer, but you know, this is what Jesus did in my life. This I was in the past. This I am now. He can do the same for you. Can I pray for you? And people touched. I didn't have the answers, but I had the power of God and the presence of Him in my life. It took a while until I could really say to my ex-girlfriend, Tatiana, you know what? You are going that way, and I have decided to go this way. Either you turn, or we have to separate. I was dying inside. Oh, this was sacrifice lesson number one for me. I was dying. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I said this to her. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, sometimes you think, people think they are good because they are amazing people. They do great things and they have, she's a model, she has television shows, she has programs and she's doing a lot of great things. And come on, Julio cannot say this to her. Julio cannot just end this relationship. And when I did this, I felt like something was taking off my head. A burden that was tying me was taken away. I could start understanding the Bible in a very deep way. I gave God my most precious treasure, what I really wanted. I gave it all to Him but that. And that was stopping God's love and God's power to flow through my life. Sometimes we are like this very little dog with a bone in their mouth. And the little dog says, I cannot lose this bone. This is the only thing I have. If I lose this bone, I have nothing to eat. I will die. And I know, come on, little dog. If you break the bone, it's going to just hurt you so bad that you can even die. Let me take the bone away. Says, no, okay, then this doesn't work because the dog can't even bite you. So I had my bone. The bone had a lot of flesh. It was very alive. So it was a different bone. It was interactive. it was hard. It was very hard. Until I got an understanding of Jesus. There's nothing in my life that can take the place of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Not even my plans. Not even my good ideas. Not my ministry. Nothing. And you need to get a steak and just toss it on the floor. Pock. Meat. And the dog, he will smell the steak. He will leave the bone. He will do it himself. You don't need to help him. Show him the steak. He leaves the bone. He goes to the steak. And then you take the bone and throw it away. With us as Christians, sometimes we have too many bones in our mouth. Too many bones. Sometimes we have a backpack full of bones. Backpack full of wrong understanding of life. Lies from the enemy, what you cannot do, what you need, what you desire. Things that you are holding on to like, oh, I cannot live without this. And Jesus is saying, would you just let go? Trust me. Follow me. Just follow me. This is what Jesus is saying. Follow me. You know what God wants from you? Could you answer this question? What do you think God wants from you? God is shouting one only thing out loud to you. Love me. Love me. This is all God wants from you. Love me, my child. Love me. You don't need to bring a lot of results, produce things, do. Love me, says the Lord. Love me. Love God. That's what you need. Then you want to manifest the power of God in your life. Love God. Love God. There's four very important things I have learned in life. The anointing of God in our lives. What is the anointing of God? Some people abuse this term because they think, oh, the anointed one is like somebody who is very important, gesalbt, the salbung of God. Some people think this is the most important thing. Yes, Germans have to work. We all are anointed. We all have been anointed by Him. Anointing, it is the protection of God around us. All around us. It's His oil protecting you. Anointing you so you are protected and nothing can kill you. Second thing is the fire of God. You need the fire of God. Because God's fire is consuming bad things and things that you don't need in life. Then you have the power, the dunamis of God. The power of God in the Christian is the authority that you understand you have in Christ. And therefore, through that authority and power, God uses you to make amazing things, greater things that you will do. And then there is one thing that is the most important one. Anointing, fire, power, and the fourth and last one is the glory of God. Some people want the fire, some people want the power, some people want the anointing. What we need is the glory of God. If there's no glory, there's nothing else. There's no life. Glory is not only an ability to do something. The glory of God is a transformation of the soul, it's transformation of the Christian, of your whole character, everything you are. You're transformed from the inside out by the glory of God exposing itself to you and manifesting God's character and God's nature, God's power to your life.
Is glory the same like the presence?
The glory? Yeah. In the glory of God, there is a lot of presence of God. The glory of God is way bigger than the presence. Okay. Yes. God is presence, is present all around us. He's present in everything. And maybe just for homework, do you think demons, fallen angels, do you think they are in the presence of God? So how can they be alive? Where is the power coming from? Because it's with His right hand, He holds everything alive. Nothing can have life without Him. It's very different. They cannot manifest this presence. They have like batteries inside that they come from God. If God takes the batteries away, they die. They disappear. But God's presence is all over the place. But He has decided, He has chosen that through the Christian, through people who have been born again, have received Jesus as Savior, only through these people, He's manifesting His glory. I mean, a dog, any animal cannot be alive without God's power in them. But God, I mean, if God is not giving them life, who can give them life? Life only comes from God. Who created Satan? With a different plan, of course. But life only comes from God. And please do not focus on those bad things that demons or Satan is doing. Focus on that amazing message that life only comes from God alone. Life can only be manifested through church, through born-again people. You can manifest His life. I have some students coming to our school or new staff members moving to. People go, hey, I've like this girl from Poland. Say, you know what? God is calling me to go and support your prayer house in Barcelona. I'm a worship leader and I'm moving to Barcelona in August just to serve with you. I'm like, come on, just move. People are moving in, but sometimes there's some of the young people moving in. After 1 or 2 weeks, they start just going on the streets and they come back saying, hey, I didn't know how to do this. I never tried, but I approached someone. I said, can I pray for you? And then I prayed for his leg and I took the crutch away and he started walking without a crutch. After only 2 weeks of being trained and understanding that it is not about a strategy, it's about an understanding that our purpose, our desire, if we share God's dream, is to go out there and love people. My motivation is not just because the pastor is going to be upset if I don't go out, if I don't go and share the gospel. My motivation is not that I have to do it. No, I don't have to do anything. I love people, and out of love, I manifest the kingdom of God to these people. According to the Bible, what is the kingdom of God? What is this thing called the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not rules of what you can say, what you cannot say. The kingdom of God is justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know this? Justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is what you have. Christian, church, you have a lot of peace, joy, and justice in the Holy Spirit with you, wherever you go. And sometimes I have young people come and say, hey, I tried to go out on the streets and meet people, but there were some people who were they were looking too aggressive or too strong or too big, and I didn't dare just to go and talk to them. Yeah. Then we are not understanding. We are not getting it. We are not getting it that we cannot look with these physical eyes. These physical eyes get me in trouble a lot, because the external look is confusing me. Really, you have to trust your discernment more than you trust your physical eyes, because these natural eyes can only see the natural. If you understand what they are seeing when they look at you is not your face, is not your color, is not if you smile or if you're happy or if you're sad. If you understand, when they look at you, they are seeing a reflection of Jesus Christ, and the love of God is shining through you. Things change. Because you are even going to smile to them. You'll even smile to them. It's so different. We had this outreach yesterday in Mosbach. We had this Impact Mosbach. We do outreaches all around Europe. And yesterday we were there, and local Christians were not very encouraged. They said, oh, this is a very small German town. Nobody's here. What can happen? And in around 1 hour, 15 of us, 15 people, we shared the gospel and prayed with over 15 other people in the streets. And some people were very touched. And 8 of them gave us emails and telephone numbers. Yes, please call me. I want to meet up again. I want to know more about Jesus. So don't tell me it's impossible in Germany. Don't tell me this is not necessary. The thing is that the question is, do you really understand that the love of God is bigger than who you are? It's bigger than your appearance. It's bigger than your image. It's bigger than you, than your limits. It's way bigger. Sometimes we go and we try to approach people and say, no, he doesn't look like somebody who wants to talk about Jesus. Come on. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, the will of God is that all men come to the knowledge of Christ. So whoever I see out there, what is the will of God for them? That they may come to the knowledge of Christ and to be saved. They can decide yes or no, yes. But I know God wants to save them. God wants to heal them. God wants to touch them. And I do my part. I approach and I offer them prayer. How do we do this? Because this is, I think, something very important. And I'm about, am I supposed to go for 1 hour or how much is it? It's 1 hour. Okay, then I just have 10 minutes. So how do we do this? Can you help me? Oh, yes, please. Okay. So, Mr. Evangelist is approaching Mr. Sinner. And I meet Mr. Sinner on the streets, and suddenly Mr. Sinner sees that this crazy guy is maybe 2 meters away looking at him. And I'm in my inside, in me, I am praying, God, would you please show me what you are doing in that heart? Yeah, I stand for maybe sometimes 4 meters away and say, God, show me what you do in the heart. Show me what you're telling this man. Show me what you are teaching him. What are you healing in him? I wait for a word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. If I get that word of wisdom, I go share it right away. If I don't, then I just approach and say, hey, what's your name?
Silas.
Silas, my name is Julio. Nice meeting you. How can I pray for you? It's 2 seconds. How can I pray for you? Be a sinner. Be a non-Christian. Make it hard to me. How can I pray for you?
I don't believe in prayer.
But do you know what prayer is?
Yes. I don't want this.
Okay. I think there are many things in your life you cannot achieve. There's many things I cannot give you. And I know you're an atheist. But if for 1 second you believe what I believe, that Jesus Christ loves you a lot, and that Jesus can, he has all power for all things. If for 1 second you believe this, I know you don't believe it, but if for 1 second you believe this, what would you ask from Jesus? Just a hypothetical case. Something impossible that only Jesus could give.
Why did my mother died when I need her?
Oh, that's a question. I'm saying that what you ask for you. Something that you need, something you desire.
For me personally?
Yeah. Something you cannot achieve.
Constantly walking with God.
Okay. Now he's not a sinner, now he's a Christian now. But I will pray for him the same way we pray on the streets for people. Normally people, young people, since they have a more postmodern paradigm way of thinking, young people, especially teenagers, they are open for anything that is spiritual. People in the generation of my mother or father, like the last generation, they were afraid and wanted to stay away from anything that was spiritual. In the church, the Holy Spirit was like, oh, Holy Spirit, this is dangerous. And on the streets, everything supernatural was witchcraft or something weird. Let's stay away from that. Now we understand through the Bible, God is showing us more and more to manifest the kingdom of God where we go. So young people on the streets, young people, they are open for the supernatural. They like Reiki, they like yoga, they like all Buddhism, Hinduism, everything that is ending with ism. They like any cool thing, anything that's spiritual. They want anything that is spiritual. So when you go to them and say, hey, I want to pray for you. Do you believe, there was this time, there was this guy with crutches, and I said to him, hey, do you believe your leg can be healed in a supernatural way? He says, of course, it could be healed, but I don't know how to. He's like, I'm going to show you. You're going to love this. And I put my hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray healing for this leg. I was like, really? And I was, yeah, come on, stand up and walk. I took the crutches, and he was walking, and he looked at me like, how can this happen? And the pain was almost completely gone. And I prayed again for him. And he was so shocked. But he was shocked he got healed. He was not shocked I was offering something spiritual to him. Young people, they like anything that is spiritual. So if we have the Holy Spirit, why not to share with people? How do we do it? I ask people, how can I pray for you? And he says, now Silas, the Christian Silas, he asked, that I have a constant walk with God. So there's something we do. 2 things. We pray with our eyes open. I always, when I pray on the street for people, and even in church, I pray with my eyes open. And I ask them, hey, okay, I pray for you. Can I hold your hand?
Yes.
Because in Europe, holding hands is okay. In Europe, can you come this way, please? Doing this on the street is not okay. And doing this is not okay also on the street. And also, not even in church sometimes. People are just pushing some people like God needed some help. You don't lay hands on the head or that you just give hands because in Europe it's very normal. Everybody shakes hands. It's okay. So why do I, and then even non-Christians, and I'm also, okay, I say, okay, I'll pray now. And they say, no, please look into my eyes. I mean, they have read this Bible verse. Says, every time you pray, close your eyes and bow your head. And it's not such a verse. Some people are saying like, oh, I didn't read that one. I will Google it. And I hold their hands and I look into their eyes. I got this from Acts chapter 3. What they're doing is that I remember John and Peter going to this gate, the beautiful Lord of the temple, and there was this guy who was lame. He was brought there for 40 years every morning just asking for money and begging. And then they said, look into my eyes. And they grab their hand and just pull him up. I believe something's happening. What are the eyes according to the Bible? The window of the soul. If you are not a Christian and I am a Christian, what is in my soul? The Holy Spirit abiding in me. So when this window is open, it is like a scanner, my friend. Gift of discernment is increasing, and it's like God starts revealing in you needs, shortcomings, lackings, areas where God's love wants to work. And in your specific case, I want to pray for God to take this insecurity away. You will always walk with Jesus. There's no other way. There's no doubt for this. He has chosen you for this. He has chosen you for this job. So I pray holding hands with my eyes open, making eye contact, and I pray very short prayers. Father, thank you for Silas. Thank you for this man of God. Thank you for saving him. And as he requested in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for more power, for endurance. He's a Christian. I pray for endurance. I pray for more of your love for him, Lord. Father, I pray you increase your presence in this man, Lord. I pray as we are praying right now that your fire and your presence, God, is transforming him. His life is transforming his thinking. And I pray this biblical word over him that he has received, he has been given the mindset of Jesus Christ. And there's no reason to doubt for doubts. And thank you for assuring him and giving him security on what you are and what you'll do with him in the future. I pray for you to give him specific words within the next days, Lord. I pray you grab hold of him in a way that he can never let go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you. Amen.
Thank you.
And normally I ask, did you feel something? I ask people when I pray for them in the streets, do you feel something? Because this postmodern generation is not about what is good, what is bad. There are no longer universal values. It's I want to do what makes me feel good. I want to do what is exciting, what I enjoy. So I ask them, do you feel something? And sometimes I can even see when I'm holding their hands, they see that they get goosebumps. And sometimes I see they are smiling. You see something happening. And I just ask them, did you feel something? And then I explain to them why God, that His Spirit, is touching them in a physical way. Thank you for helping me.
Thank you.
Bless. It's about changing 1 minute and a half. It's about changing an understanding of a paradigm that is wrong. Bringing your friends to Jesus is not inviting them to come to church. You cannot invite anybody to church because you are at church. Imagine Peter and John saying, hey, John, let's go to church. You're like, are you cuckoo? What do you mean, go to church? We are church. We are church. We cannot go to church. We are the church. God no longer abides, 2 Peter, God no longer abides in temples made out of hands of men. Now you and I, as living stones fitted together, we are the house of God. So when you approach somebody, that's the way that you are bringing them into the kingdom. Because people are not taken to a place. The kingdom is brought to them. Jesus was never taking them to a place. Oh, you want to meet my father? Come, I'll take you. No. He says, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom is here. Therefore, repent and convert. Because the kingdom is here now. It's for you. Want to heal you. Want to restore you. And the Holy Spirit is in you, my friends. Not as a lake. Not as a dry canal. Holy Spirit is in you as a river. And it wants to flow. It wants to heal. It wants out. The Holy Spirit in you wants out. Do it. Just do it. Just good advice or good news. Some people want to give psychological good advice. I'm sorry. When Jesus Christ went to English. The Samaritan woman. Is it Samaritan?
Yeah. Yeah.
When he went to the Samaritan woman, he used no psychology. He used revelation. He brought the good news. It's a revelation. The good news of the gospel is a revelation that, hey, I am in this physical world, but Jesus Christ is bigger. Jesus Christ is more powerful, is more important. And I can, through him, reach God the Father. And I can be saved not by works, but by grace. This is not good advice. This is good news. And the gospel is good news for salvation. So may God help us to live in this power. May God heal any wounds in your hearts, people, that is just stealing the gifts and the truth of God from you. I pray that God brings emotional healing to your hearts, and the wounds are being healed, and your life and your the way you see yourself is restored, and that you see yourself as a living canal through which God is flowing with a lot of fire, a lot of love, and a lot of life. God bless you. Amen. Okay. Thank you for coming to this worship. It's been nice meeting you guys.